This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet all of you in the name of the Lord, in the name of Yeshua. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and Pastor Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart. We have now for 24 years. Hard to believe in it, Pastor Donna. And God gave us a name way back at the beginning, right out of Revelation 19:10. And He gave us the name of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. What's that? How's that verse quoted, Pastor? You want to quote that verse with him, the tail end of it?
Revelation 19:10?
That's right.
It says, "Worship God, mm-hmm. for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Prophecy. And that's a small s. That means our human spirit is going to prophesy on behalf of the Lord. And we've got everything He's given us in the Word to understand what He came to do and accomplish. And so we're just following His path and what He gave us to do. And it's been that way for hundreds of years now since He came to the earth. And His plan and purpose will never change, will it?
And Yeshua, the testimony, it fulfills all the prophecies spoken about Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
And we're to speak those things.
Absolutely.
We're to speak those words and those prophetic words that have been spoken about Jesus from the beginning of time.
That's right.
From the very beginning of time, all the way through the Word of God. And you know what? When you hear it and faith grows and you believe, we must believe. Yeshua is coming again soon.
Sure is.
And He wants His people. He wants all. He was not that any should be lost.
Wants everybody ready, doesn't He?
And to be ready too, but He doesn't want people to be lost.
That's
there's
right.
There's a lot of people that are lost right now. They don't know. They're not going to be in heaven.
That's
unless
right.
they come to Yeshua, because He's the only way to come to the Father.
That's right.
The only way to get to heaven. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
I think, well, it says in Revelation that lukewarm church. He says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So He doesn't want lukewarm. And I can think about when my mother was with us before she passed away. She hated her coffee lukewarm. She wanted it hot. Well, we should be hot for the Lord the same way. And so there's going to be a lot of people that have been lukewarm and not doing what God asked them to do, walking in that place. Well, they're going to wind up being left here on this earth and go through this terrible time called Jacob's trouble. So it's imperative that we walk with the Lord and obey His word. He gives us commandments and statutes and instructions, and so we need to do the things He tells us to do and stay away from the things He tells us not to do, right?
So what do we need? The fire.
We need the fire of the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
That's
amen.
What
to
we
stir
need.
Us, to stir within us, to be on fire, to be a flame of fire for the Lord.
That's
to
right.
What? To do the work of the ministry. And everyone's a minister, everyone who's come to the Lord, everyone who's born again, born from above, is called to do something.
Ministers of reconciliation.
That's
what
right.
it's all about. That's
we're
what, that's what God's
ministers.
Got us here for. Yeah, to show and your lifestyle and the words you speak and all from the holy book that we have, the Bible, that people's going to see that there's something different about you.
To share the testimony.
That's right. To share that testimony of Jesus Christ. And he saved us now a lot of years ago. So He wants you to come. And today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. It doesn't say tomorrow or next month or when I get my life straightened out. No, He says today is the day of salvation. Just come like you are and then He'll clean you up.
And everyone has a testimony.
That's
Pastor
right.
Gene.
We sure do. We all have a testimony.
And everyone who's come to the Lord has a testimony.
So we're honored to be here with you. We greet you again in the name of the Lord. I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And we do offer tapes and CDs, whatever you'd like. If you missed the program or you'd like to get a copy of it to listen to it again, it's available. All we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to the name of the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And you can mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34997. We'll be glad to get it out to you. And we haven't mentioned the book for
34995.
I say 7. I'm sorry. They're so easy. We got two different addresses. So, all right. I'll say it again. 34995 is the zip. But if you put the other one on there, probably get here anyhow, because it's Stuart. But we haven't talked about this book I wrote a long time ago, Pastor. No, we haven't said much about that. I have a commentary. It's not a commentary. It's a book I wrote quite a few years ago. And it's about God's prophetic calendar. And it's pictures of the Messiah all through God, His Word. And they're all revealed in His appointed times. They're God's appointed times about Yeshua the Messiah. And we can find out so much about Him. And so that book's available for $25 plus maybe $4 for shipping and handling. And we get it out to you. We can only do so much here on a program with 55 minutes or so. And so if you get the book, then you can really get into it. I give you all the scriptures, everything to back it up. And when I wrote the book, the Lord told me, He says, don't put anything in here. You don't have at least 2 or 3 witnesses. And so that's what I did. And so it's all in the book. And it's on every appointed time. Passover, unleavened bread, all of it. It's all covered.
I think it's more like a teaching manual
to me. That's
what
it is. All right. And it even covers, the time of Daniel chapter 9. We talk about Hanukkah, and then we talk about Purim. In fact, this is our next time coming up with God. It's a time called Purim. It's all in that book. And so you can make yourself available to that. We'll be glad to mail it out to you. And a lot of people have been blessed. We've sent them all over the place. There's lots of them around the world, I think, by now. So anyway, we welcome you to the program again. We're honored to be here with you. And we're doing this because we love God, not because we have to. And so we don't have all the truth, but we're going to give you what we understand from the Word of God. And as we know the truth, the Bible says what? Will
make
not set us free, will make us free. So we welcome you. We hope you can stay tuned in. And so I've been thinking about all...
I want to mention before we go, I want to give us our telephone number. Right. And mention that we do have a special guest coming.
That's right.
In February. And mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. So I'll just start out with our services. We have service every Friday night at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And today is Saturday. We won't be today. We're not going to be having anything on today. But tomorrow on Sunday, we have our services at 10 a.m. So come and worship God with us, because the testimony of Yeshua is Spirit of Prophecy.
Hallelujah.
That's the name of the church, Spirit of Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And also want to mention this radio broadcast is also on the internet. So you can listen to it anywhere, any place in the world. Or you can go back and listen to it again, or listen to what we spoke on last week or the week before that. You just go to WCNO.com and just go to the program guide and look at Saturday at 12 noon for Raising the Standard with Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. So that's a blessing. So that the WCNO, the internet radio program, all over the world. So tell your friends and your neighbors, your loved ones. And we're just blessed to be on WCNO. I also want to mention that we have Dr. Bree Keaton coming to be with us
in February.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And she is an awesome woman of God. And she'll be with on the 10th. That's a Friday. The 11th, Saturday, and the 12th on Sunday in February. February 12th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. She leads prayer walks. She's had special breakthroughs in strongholds and cities. She's an author of several books. She's a psalmist, a recording artist, and she prays deliverance. She's very, very, very busy leading pygmies in the Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
She's rescued over 70,000 pygmies so far. Who would know that there were that many?
That's
you know,
right.
that have been, and they're under great persecution. And so we're just really blessed to have her come and to be with us. And she's a teacher. She teaches as a supernatural. She's been on many television shows. 700 Club, she's been on Supernatural with Sid Roth and many, many others that I, TBN, just many, many radio, TV programs and radio programs. The Prophecy Club, mm-hmm. many of them. So we're just blessed to have her. And so I'm going to give you our telephone number if you'd like to give us a call and you'd like to have information about the church or about the radio program. Phone number here is area code 772 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Amen. So we're blessed to be with you. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
Hallelujah.
On Andros Island, building the church, the temple of God, building the spiritual church, the spiritual house, and also building a physical house.
Thank you, Lord.
And we got the pictures. Wow, it's really doing awesome. And so they've got this wonderful building that's going up, and they certainly could use some funds if you want to help out with the financing. The putting the roof on, getting the roof ready to go on, putting the pillars up. The walls are all up. The blocks are all up. Now we're working on the top part.
The top part, right? The roof on the building, yeah.
Got to get a roof on the building. They've been in a tent for many years, and the tent has just about had it.
Had it, right.
So we just thank the Lord for them and for the temple of God on Andros Island. Amen.
So if you'd like to send an offering in to help them, you can just make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and just write on the check for the Temple of God on Andros Island, and we'll make sure they get every penny of it, okay? And you'll be blessed. I've got some good seed to plant your seed in over there because there's a great work going on. Well, we're honored to be here with you, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And I was thinking today before we came on, we were out of town all this week, and I was thinking about all the patterns we have in the Bible. I just love patterns. And you know, this entire book I have in front of me, God's showing us not only the history of Israel and what his plan for them, but all the patterns in it, all pointing to his purpose, is that not one person should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's his plan. And since we revealed through the whole thing. So I'm going to show you a couple of things here, if we have time to finish this today, here. In the, I'm going to start in the book of Joshua, and I'll probably wind up over in 2 Kings just to show you some things. So, you know, the names even, Pastor Donald, are interesting in the Bible. You know, when you look up a city, find out what it means, one of the sons of Israel, find out what their name means. It tells you a lot about their life and how things are going to go. And so those things are really important. But a lot of people just kind of read this like it's a book. To me, I read it, but I like to study it as well. But the thing is, I'm going to ask you, as we get ready to teach on this, to ask God to give you a prophetic mind here, a prophetic mind to see something down underneath what we're talking about. This happened hundreds of years ago, but it's the patterns are so apropos for us even this day. So we want to be wise in those things. We want to be like Issachar, to know the times and the seasons. And we have them revealed in the Bible when certain things are going to happen. And so we don't know for sure exactly what year we're on, but we know the times and the seasons of a lot of these things that God has revealed in his word. And we see a lot of places where deliverance came in and all the wonderful things that God put in place. And it was for Israel, but it was also for you and I to understand that as well. So now we're part of the renewed Testament. We're in that because we're born again. But we also see that everything that Paul and the apostles talked about, where did they get those words from? Because when we read those books and the Gospels and all that, you know, they were written way after all the events that happened in the First Covenant. But we can learn something from all that and bring it right up into the season that we're in right now. They did in that day. Paul and the apostles went out, and what did they do? They preached the Word of God. They talked about the resurrection from the dead, and they got put in jail, beaten, flogged, and everything else, declaring what Christ came to do on this earth, that not one would perish, that they would all come to Christ. And so this is what this book's all about. From beginning to end, it's about salvation. And the Bible says today is a day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, or when a lot of people say, well, I get my life right, I'm going to start going to church. No, you come as you are, and then let the Lord deal with you. Read the Word of God, go to a good church, and you're going to grow by leaps and bounds, and your life can be changed day by day and moment by moment if you allow him to do that. But we have to yield ourselves to him. We have to commit our lives to the Lord and say, I want you more than anything else. I want to please you in everything that I do. And when we do, let me tell you, he's going to be right there at that very moment. If you have a need, he's already helping time of need. The Bible tells us he'll be right there. But we don't just come to him for needs. We come to him because he first loved us, and because of that, we want to love him back. And so he loves us so much. And we can just even comprehend that, Pastor Don, the love of God. But anyway, that's what it's all about. So this whole book is pointing us from the very beginning to the end, all about salvation. God wants everyone in this world, no matter what their ethnic background is, no matter what they've been through, no matter what religious paganism they've been wrapped up in, no matter what it is, he is the one that will deliver them out of the prison gates that's within their lives. You know, he said, I came to open the prison doors, let the prisoners out. He's opened the gates. The gates has been open for a lot of years for several hundred years now. Jesus came and died for you and I. The prison doors are open. A lot of people are in prison physically, but a lot of people are in prison within their hearts. Past hurts, the way they grew up, the pains and the agony of all the things, and they have such a hard time getting over those. But see, Jesus is our deliverer. Hallelujah. Husakandalabi, kosomdalaba. He's the one that came and he opened that gate in our heart to allow him to come in. He's the one that'll do it if you'll just let him. Grin with the gate when it wants to be open. Let him come into your heart, and he'll come in and take residence in you.
Amen.
And then he can change you day by day. And so that's his desire. So as you listen to the program, have a prophetic mind with all this. And listen to what's being said. Think about where you're at today. Apply it to your life today because we can. All right? So I'm going to go over to Joshua chapter 4 to start with. And we're going to show you something here. We know that the Jews were called out of Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea. And God did a marvelous miracle with that. And these people saw this. And then we come over here into Joshua after Moses dies and all that. And the mantle was handed to Joshua. And Moses actually ordained him. And passed the mantle to him, the anointing, to carry on with the people of God. And so Joshua took over at that time. And I'm going to go to chapter 4. I'll show you some things here. And we'll look at some examples for you here today. And Pastor Donna will pop in here whenever she wants on this, okay? Now, where do I want to go? Verse 14 of chapter 4. Let's read a little bit here. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. This is when Moses died. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priest that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come ye up out of the Jordan. Well, remember, the Jordan at this time of the year, if we look at history here, what the Bible tells us, this is the time of the year. It was in the spring, and this is when the rivers overflowed, Jordan overflowed, and there was lots of water. It'd be hard to go. You couldn't walk across it because it was so much water. It was deep. And then verse 18. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of their feet were lifted up onto the dry land. See, the water was there, but God parted the water. And it was dry land, just like it was when they came out of Egypt, when he parted the Red Sea. That the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Now here we start with this. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Now if you don't know your Jewish calendar, would you know when this was? Well, we got to stay on God's prophetic calendar. We got to stay on what? The lunar calendar is what we're on. The Jewish people are on the lunar calendar. And so we have to remember what that's all about, the months, to find out what they were and all that. And it says here, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Well, the first month was the month of Nisan, we call it today. But back then it was also called Abib, on the first day, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So Gilgal is an interesting city. If you look at this, look up the name, it tells you it means to be rolled away. So God is bringing them out into the promised land. And he did a miracle, opened up the Jordan River, and they went across, and he did it at the Passover season. The same things that we see that happened with when they came out of Egypt, right, Pastor John? The same time of the year. So here's a pattern being done again. Well, this is quite a few years later on. You can remember they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years before they came over to this place called Gilgal. And so it was where it started. And that's where I want to go now. Let's just read on. And those 12 stones, they had to put these stones in the river, which they took out of Jordan.
Out of the river.
Did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Hear this? Dry land, just like they did when they came out of the land of Egypt. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now we go into chapter 5, and we find out when they come to Gilgal, and I'll remember all those children that were in the wilderness, all those over 40 years old all died. There was the 20 and under had not died, and they had not even been circumcised yet. Now here we got a pattern, a picture here. Now they had a physical circumcision, didn't they, Donna? But the circumcision we have now is not with a knife. It's a spiritual circumcision that we have. So we have an interesting pattern.
Before you go on, that word Gilgal means passed over.
That's right, passed over.
So they passed over the river, the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm kind of like, I'll go back to like verse 14. Before this all happened, see, the Lord did something wonderful. He magnified.
That's what it says right here.
It says he magnified. And to me, I think about a magnifying glass,
that's right,
or something that's going to enlarge,
that's right,
something that's going to maximize or increase something,
that's right,
make larger, like with a microscope. So he magnified Joshua, what? In the sight of all
the people.
Israel,
mm-hmm,
of all Israel, all the people. So that, and they feared him. Why? Because they saw the anointing.
That's it.
See, the anointing will magnify.
That's it. It was Pastor Moses to
those
him,
who are called to do a work.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they feared him all the days of his life.
Whoa.
All the days of his life. So even throughout his whole lifetime, he had the fear of the Lord. The people had the fear of the Lord. And that doesn't mean they were scared to death of him. No. Yeah. They saw that what God had done, that the Lord had magnified Joshua, had made him greater.
That's right.
Larger, you know, given him that anointing, given him that anointing to do the awesome work.
To be the
work,
leader of the people.
He had to do, because now, if you read the verse before that, there was about 40,000 prepared for war.
That's
so
right.
They were going to go into, it was going to be a war, a battle.
Right.
So, well, we're in a battle right now, aren't we?
Sure.
We're in a war right now. But even we're in a war, even as they were in a war, they didn't have to battle with swords and knives and you know, whatever, bows and arrows, whatever they used in those days. Because, you know, when they're getting ready to take Jericho. Well,
they
all they had to
weapons.
Do, they didn't do it with weapons.
That's
they
right.
did it with obeying the word of God.
That's it.
And so I believe the same is with us today. We have to obey what the Lord says. Because this is our instruction book, right?
Absolutely.
It teaches us and guides us. And there's different kinds of war. There's different kinds of warfare. Well, I think the greatest warfare now is prayer, intercession, and, you know, to love God, to have that fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Like they had the fear of Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And he was magnified. Well, if the word of God is magnified in our life, and we have the holy fear, reverence of the Lord, and we're seeking him because we're seeing all the things that are going on around us.
That's right.
In our nation, in the world today. And, you know, time is short. And so as the word is magnified in us, made greater, enlarge our capacity for the word of God and for the anointing of God in our life, then we can fulfill the call of God upon our life. So we need to magnify the Lord with all our heart and praise him. And, you know, prayer, praise and worship brings us into that place of glory. So I think that that's very key there, that it says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel.
Amen.
And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to go over a little further here now.
We're going to go into chapter 5.
Chapter 5. And we know all Moses, or no, I got Moses on my mind. Joshua had to circumcise all those young people from age 20 down, and it was required by the Lord. He told them to do that, and so they did that. Now, if we go over here to verse 7, it says, and their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, all those that were 20 and below. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that the people abode in their places in the camp till they were whole, till the men healed. This is a key verse next now. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Here's when they're in Gilgal, it means rolled away. He's rolling away all the reproach, anything they ever done. He's letting them start, and he's starting all over with him. Right, Pastor John? It's a brand new day. You know, he's resetting the clock with them. He says, I'm going to start something new with you. So he rolled away any kind of reproach that they had whatsoever of Egypt that was off of them. He took it off of them. He says, wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. So Gilgal is a pretty well-known city in the Bible. It's mentioned many times. So this is interesting where this was rolled away. Now, if we go on down, this is interesting about the time of the year. We know this was at Passover. Back in chapter 4, verse 19, it showed it was on the 10th day of the first month. Well, the 10th day of the first month is actually the first day of Passover. Because remember, they laid up the lamb when they came out of Egypt. On what day? On the 10th. They examined it for 4 days, and then on the 14th, what happened? They had to kill the lamb, do all the things that happened, and of course we know Yeshua fulfilled all that in his life. in the physical realm itself. And so we see the time it was in the spring, okay? Now, we got that in mind. Now let's do this. Go to your, I just read verse 9. Now let's read verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at eve in the plains of Jericho. Now this at eve means between the two evenings at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
So they were circumcised just before this.
That's right.
Just before this. Interesting, just after they had crossed the Jordan.
That's right.
My thought is, you know, because it's painful. You know, there's
sure.
a few days of suffering there.
That's right.
And they were going into battle. And, you know, you think about it, you know, they were in pain.
That's right.
But yet the Canaanites were scared to death of them. They had such fear.
Mm-hmm.
It says over there, it says that they were really afraid when they saw that the water had dried up and then the children of Israel had crossed over. They had the kings of Canaan, when they saw this by the sea, it says that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from the children of Israel until we passed over, that their hearts melted.
That's right.
These Canaanites, people's hearts melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So they had great fear.
Yeah.
And then I think, well, why did God wait until after they had crossed the Jordan to do that? Well, you know, I'm thinking about it spiritually. When we get born again, not everything is gone, you know, but the circumcision is a picture of the circumcision of our heart. God wants to circumcise our heart. And what does that? The fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the love of God and, you know, being obedient. And so here they're circumcised them after they cross the Jordan. And
right.
So, you know, people will, I would think naturally we'll do this before and get the healing, you know, and then cross over. But no, because they were trusting in God for all of their, for everything they needed, for all of their means, all their needed needs for their crossing over, you know. And so even being circumcised and these other people seeing this, these Canaanites seeing this, they had great fear.
Yeah.
And they melted, their hearts melted, and their spirit left them. They had no strength to go out to battle.
Took all their energy.
Yeah. Even though they weren't weak in their muscles didn't get, you know, get atrophy mm-hmm. or anything. But you got to have the right spirit to go to battle, don't you?
Right.
Just when we're praying and everything, we got to have the right spirit to go to battle. And so, because it's not our physical body, our joints, our muscles and all that. No, it's what's in our heart. And so, you know, even though they did the circumcision after they crossed the Jordan, I'm sure they didn't feel like going to battle or war, but we got to realize sometimes we don't feel like doing things, right? And so I'm sure they were in some pain there. And these were all, because all the older people had all already died off.
Right.
The warriors had already died off. So we've got a whole new
group generation,
of warriors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they have to learn to do things, you know, each generation has to learn how to war and to do what God's called them to do. Each generation, each coming up generation. That's why it's important that we, you know, teach and train, and the younger people come and they catch the anointing. See, Joshua caught
Hallelujah.
The anointing from
yes,
from, Moses.
From Moses.
God gave
yeah.
it to him, right? God magnified him, Joshua right before the sight of all the people. And so the anointing went on. And so here we see that these people are afraid. Their spirits, they didn't have a spirit to war anymore.
That's right.
So, you know, God took care of it, didn't he?
That's right.
Even though the Israelites were getting circumcised after they crossed the Jordan.
Yeah.
That makes me think about when we come to the Lord, then God deals with the stuff that's in us that needs to come out of us, you know. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's family problems. It could be a million different things that God wants to deal with. So that's kind of interesting how God does things different than we figure.
That's
we think,
right.
We think it might be done.
It's interesting. He talks about
so we don't
being,
know.
Talked about him being this, that this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. When we come to Christ, what
mm-hmm.
happens? All of our sins and all the things that we had in the world has
rolled
we,
away.
You know, our reproach from all that has been removed. And Egypt is a picture of what? Of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's
Thank
go on
you,
with
Lord.
This. This is interesting. We're in verse 10 now of chapter 5. It says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at eve in the plains of Jericho. We read that a moment ago. Now, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow. Well, the next day, the morrow, would be what? Nisan 15. After the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Now we go to verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Now we're on Nisan 16, okay? Neither had the children of Israel men anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Well, this would be on after that day. Then we have the 17th of Nisan, which is a prophetic window here. Yeshua came out of the grave on Nisan 10, hundreds of years in
Nisan
the future.
Nisan 17.
Nisan, what did I say?
Said 10.
Yeah, I'm not 10, yeah, 17. Right, but it's during the season. So Nisan 17 is when he rose from the grave. And so when we come to him, we have resurrection of life, and we start all over, and then we start eating the fruit of the Word of God, don't we? And that's what changes us. So I think about even the covenant, you know, when they were circumcised, what was it all about? They were making a blood covenant with God.
That's right.
And they were circumcised physically. When we come to Christ, we don't have a physical circumcision, but we have a circumcision in our heart. And it's not seen, it's in us. And so it's an amazing picture here about salvation, all of our sins being rolled away. We're coming out of the world that we were living in with all the things we did. We're still in this world, but we're not part of the world, like Jesus said. But this is so important. And I thought this verse 12 is really key on Nisan 17, because this is when it all started. This event, that when Christ died and rose from the grave, is the most important event that ever happened in history for all mankind. It's amazing when you think about it. So we have all these patterns through here. And so this is the first one. You got something else you want to say there, Pastor? This is the first one. Now let's look at another one here. If we go over to 2 Kings.
So the circumcision that they had, it's like the old man.
That's right.
But we have the circumcision of the heart.
That's
when
right.
We become born again. We're yep. born from above.
And our sins are rolled away when we come to Christ.
Our sins are rolled away. Like Gilgal means we're old, passed over.
But I was thinking while you were talking, you know, over here with Joshua, these young people got circumcised after they crossed the Jordan River, right?
That's right.
When we come, it's not a before or after. The moment we come to Christ, what? We're circumcised in our heart that quick. It's not before or after. It's right at that moment. Isn't that amazing when you think of it?
That's right.
It's a circumcision of the heart.
Then God begins to do his work in us.
That's right.
See, they were circumcised. Then God was getting ready to do the work that he was going to do with them, because he had a lot of work for them to do, because they were to take the land.
Yeah.
Well, God had promised them the land. And if you go on and read there, you know, the wars that they had. And
a lot of them.
And when they were obedient to God, they won the battle because God was always with them. But when they did the wrong things, when they went out and did the things that they wanted to do, you know, they lost the battle. And they said, why did we lose the battle? We won the last one. Well, then there's somebody came and told them, a prophet or somebody came and said, you did this. You did something you weren't supposed to do.
That's right.
So when you do the wrong thing, then you don't win the battle.
That's right.
But as long as you're doing things according to the Lord, he fights the battle for us.
That's
amen.
Right.
Praise God. So where are we going?
We have the event in with Joshua and Ai. They were disobedient. So they first when they went into the battle, they lost. I'm going to go to Second Kings 2. And so they lost the battle because they were disobedient. There's a book that's available. It's a Jewish writing called Jasher. It shows you all the battles that Joshua and all of Israel had to do, taking all the Canaanites and all those cities back that God had. And they had walls 30 and 40 feet high with, I mean, giants in the land. And they only had 200 or 300 people that were there. Well, God won the battle for them because they were obedient and did what happened. Look what happened to Jericho.
God fought the
all
battle.
All he told them to do was walk around the walls one time each day. And they had to be quiet. And on the seventh day, they walked around the walls, seven times, and probably taking a while. That's a pretty
shouted.
Good... Shouted, blew the shofars, and what happened? The walls just fell down flat, and they took it over. It's amazing when you think about it. God can do all things. So I took...
And you wonder why he did that. Was it because he wanted to save one woman?
It'd be Rahab, right?
Rahab. She was That's one. Another whole story there.
That's another whole
was
story.
Was it because he wanted to save one woman out of there? Well, he could have saved her another way. But, you know, God does things... We don't understand. He magnifies himself. He makes things bigger than we ever can imagine. All those huge, giant, gigantic walls.
That's right.
Collapsing.
And all the huge number of men that they went to war with, and they won the battle. So,
amen.
But you know, Rahab, you know, even though we don't understand that probably, but God knew Rahab's heart, and she knew what was going on with Israel, what he did with when he brought them out of Egypt. All the things and the miracles and all. And she's like, I want to be part of that. And so she did what God told her to do. Really, she understood what God wanted. She hid those men. And what happened? They spared her when they came in and took over Jericho.
And she has a testimony.
That's right.
Because of Yeshua.
That's
she
right.
has a testimony.
Her lineage goes down to the Messiah.
And that's awesome.
That's awesome.
If it wasn't for her,
that's right.
God would have done it a different way.
That's
but
right.
God always knows it. He knows exactly what he's going to do from... beginning of creation to the very end, to the very last moment.
Right.
And, you know, I think about if Christians hadn't been praying this year, if Christians hadn't done what God wanted, God, we would have a different president.
That's
but
right.
I believe that God's hand moved and God caused things to happen because he saw the hearts of his people crying out for righteousness for change and the righteousness. And so God has given us a time and a space
to get it all done.
To do what he wants us to do.
So you think about Rahab. She was a harlot.
Yeah.
So it just shows you. When she came to the Lord, let me tell you, he got part of Israel. Probably was in no time
God
at all. She realized
her.
God changed her, and she never went back to that. And she must have been an incredible witness to Israel that God chose her. I think about the two men that came out of the promised land that were sent in to spy out the land, out of the ten. Who? Joshua and Caleb, okay? Well, some people may not know this, but Caleb was a Gentile. His father's name was Jephunneh, and he was not of Israel. And he joined it. He was sort of like Cornelius in the New Testament. You know, he never got really born again until later. You know, he loved God, he obeyed what God said in his holy word and all that, and then they came that he realized that he needed the Messiah, and that's when he got saved. And so Cornelius was according to the Bible, was the first Gentile that came into the body of Christ. And so it's amazing when you think about all this, how God put it all together. And so
God will use anyone.
He'll use anyone whatsoever.
So we should not be judging people's hearts. We can't judge people's hearts or their past, because God can change the past.
The past is the past.
In a moment, of a time.
And so, you know, people get changed in a moment of time. I got changed in a moment of time. Pastor Donna got changed in a moment of time. If you're born again, listen to this radio program. There was a day, I hope you can remember that day, in a moment of time, you were circumcised in your heart. You didn't feel a thing physically, you know, in your heart. Your physical heart, but you knew that something had happened to your life and that you had a heart change to turn to God and start to follow his son, Yeshua. So we have an incredible event here that happened. I'm going to show you here in 2 Kings. And also, it's a pattern of this thing called salvation that God brought. Salvation. Glory be to God. Today is a day of salvation. So if someone's listening today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or you're curious, you're checking into all these different religious systems. We know people that's done that. They looked into this, they looked into that, they looked into that. Well, there's only one way into the kingdom of God. Yeshua made it quite clear in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And he says, no man cometh to the Father except by me. There's no other way. So you can quit looking at all the other things and just say, Lord, I believe in my heart that you came and that you died for me and rose from the grave, and you said if I would do that, I would be saved. And we thank you for that. And so it takes a heart change. It tells us that in Romans chapter 10. It's a heart change that comes when we come to the Lord. And then things turn around in our life and we start walking the other way. It doesn't mean things are ever going to be like a bowl of roses, is it, Pastor Don? In fact, sometimes when you come, all hell breaks loose because you got friends, they're going to disagree with you, they're going to try to pull you back, and this happens to a lot of people. But see, when you come and you're sold out and you have an experience with God, you'll never look back. And even Jesus himself said, you know, when you put your hand to the plow and start plowing, if you start looking back, he says you're not fit for the kingdom of God. So the past is the past, right, Pastor John? It's a new day. It's a new hour. Hallelujah. So I get excited about that. So if you've never done that, you can just write it right now or at the end of the program. Just say, Lord, I believe Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna. I want you to come into my life. And just ask him to forgive you of your sins and that you believe that he died and rose from the grave for you. Individually, he did it for you, and if you'll do that, he'll be there that quick, and you'll know it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Any backslider that came to the Lord maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and something happened to you, and you walked away from God.
Return.
Yeah, we know a good brother in our church, a guy he worked with, and he knew God, and when his wife died, he blamed it on God. He's walked away from God. He's been away from him for a long time. So what would happen if? If he died today, you know, this is what we're talking about. God, he is Yahshua, Yahweh. Yah means salvation. They're both the same thing.
Amen.
The God of salvation. So we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And here we have some cities and some places that God sent. Elijah, remember, it tells us right here in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha. From where? From Gilgal. Here we are. First place they went to, what? They went from Gilgal, which means what? It means rolled away. It's a picture of you and I. All right? When we come to the Lord, Our sins are rolled away. It's as far as the east is from the west. It tells us over there in Corinthians. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away and we begin new. That's what we got to keep in mind, okay? So that's where they went. Now, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel.
What's Bethel mean?
Bethel means what? House of God.
House of God.
And Elijah and Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So it's the house of God. So think about it. Our sins are rolled away when we come to Christ, and then we become the house of God. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. That you're the temple of the living God. He lives in us. I just get welled up thinking about that. That He lives in me. He lives in all of us that are born again. And so we become a temple of God. Now look at the next thing. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now think about this. All the other prophets in that
school,
they all knew that Elijah was going to go. Why was Elisha the only one? See, we got a lot of people that stand afar off, don't want all the things of God. Or they say, well, I don't believe it's for today, or it won't happen. No, he wanted, God's desire was all those prophets would follow Elijah. But only one chose to do it. The rest of them stood afar off. So we don't want to stand afar off from the things of God. Let's take everything in this book. You know, we have people saying, well, this is not for today and that's not for today. We take it out. This entire book I got in front of me, this King James Bible, is factual and it's true from the beginning until the very end. And it's words for you and I to understand what God wants us to know and to fall in love with Him in a greater dimension. So this is what we need. It has not changed. You don't take things out.
Well, Elisha was called to follow Elijah. He said he's going to take away your master.
That's right.
And he told him, I know, be quiet. You guys,
that's
hold
right.
your peace. You
that's
know,
right.
Hold your peace. I know, you know, because he stayed with him like glue. He stayed with him like glue. And so, like you're saying, that these other prophets weren't. But Elisha had a special call in his life, too. And so he was obedient to stay close there because he knew that there was more.
That's right.
He knew there was more, and you know maybe I mean I don't know we don't know about the all the other prophets, but you know
there's a school of prophets. Yeah,
it was a school of prophets, and they knew what was going to happen as well.
That's right.
It's not that God kept it as a secret from them.
Nope.
They knew what was going to happen, mm-hmm. and they knew that Elisha was. Looked at Elijah, that he was the one he was taught and trained mm-hmm. by, and he was raised up by him, and because he gave all he was willing to make an altar of all, you know, killed all his the animals that he had and all the wood, and you can read that ahead of time back, you know, what he did, because he gave all to follow Elijah, because he
That's
knew
right.
that Elijah was, you know, had that anointing. And so he stuck close to him.
And Elijah, he mentored him is what he did.
Yes.
Now, we don't know how many years this was, but he did. He did everything for him. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 4, he goes to another place. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Well, Jericho means fragrance. So think about it. Our sins are rolled away. We become the house of God, and we are now a sweet fragrance before God. It was like a sweet fragrance off mm-hmm. of an altar.
So he's receiving that fragrance from
the fragrance, that's
him.
Right.
And is Elijah sort of like testing him, seeing how, you know, are you going to follow me this time? How far are you going to go? How far are you going to go with the Lord? You know, but I think about, you know, even Yeshua, you know, he did the same thing with the disciples.
That's right.
When you read different things that happened. So he was totally sold out. To follow Elijah. Elisha was totally sold out to follow him. He wasn't going to tarry there and say, okay, I'll sit here and just relax under this tree while you go there.
So I'm going with you.
I'm not leaving you.
That's right. He knew where the anointing was. He knew what was going to happen. He wanted part
mm-hmm.
of it. Now, verse 5 says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah,
two times he said
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And Elijah said unto him, now, tarry. Here he says, tarry again.
And then wait some more.
I pray thee, here for the Lord has mm-hmm. sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. and they too went on. Well, now the Jordan, talking about the Jordan River, it means a descending or flowing river or water. So we get our sins rolled away, we become the house of God, we have a sweet fragrance, and now what do we want next? We want the Spirit of God to flow through us. We want the anointing. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
So going back to the river.
That's right.
We need to always return to the river of God, because the river of God is always full. It's always full.
That's right.
It's never empty or never murky or dirty. It's the river of God is always full, and we always need to return to that.
Never empty, is it?
To the anointing.
That's right.
To the anointing. That's where the miracles happen.
That's right.
That's where the water parted, wasn't it?
That's
where the miracles happen, when you got to get into the flow of the river of God.
That's right. Now, verse 7 says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Here we go, standing way off. Like a lot of Christians.
Watchers.
They don't want all of God. They kind of want to play with God.
They
want to have part of the world and part of Him. It don't work that way.
Well, they wanted to watch.
That's right. And the two stood by the Jordan, okay? And Elijah took his mantle. This was actually, I believe it was his tallit. And wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. So the river of Jordan was opened up. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elisha said, this is key, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I want a double portion of the anointing.
You wanted the anointing.
And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. So it means he has to stick so close to him to see him go.
You got
to
keep your eyes on me.
Because it's going to happen that
continually,
quick.
Continually, just like we have to keep our eyes on the Lord continually.
That's right.
We can't have double vision.
That's right.
We have to be single-eyed. We have to single-eyed so we can't be looking at, in the world and looking to the Lord. We need to have single-eyed.
That takes a real
determination. To press in, to follow the Lord wholeheartedly.
That's right.
To keep your eye, to see. If you see, he says, if thou see me.
That's it.
When I'm taken from thee. And the disciples, many people saw Yeshua taken up into heaven.
That's right. In Acts chapter 1.
And so,
That's right.
They saw that.
That's right. And still a lot of people didn't believe.
Mm.
So now verse 11 says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, Elisha and Elijah, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Now, see, he didn't go up in the chariot. He went up in a whirlwind.
A chariot.
Yeah.
There was a chariot.
Yeah, but he was taken out of that and went up in a whirlwind into heaven. We might be driving our car one day when Jesus comes by. When he comes, we'll just be taken right out.
There appeared a chariot of fire.
That's right.
And horses of fire. What do horses pull? Chariots.
Mm-hmm.
And it parted them both. In other words, he had to part them, because otherwise, Elisha would have gone too.
That's
he would have gone too.
Yeah, he separated them, didn't he?
So it was a vapor, a thought. He went right up into that chariot of fire.
And so the next verse says, Elisha saw it, just like Donna said. Because Elijah told him, if you see me when I go, you're going to have it. So he saw it. And he cried, my father, my father. Well, was that his physical father? No. It was like a father, spiritual father to Elisha. My father, my father, the chariot of Israel. And the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He ripped his garment, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He took up also the mantle of Elijah, his tallit that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. It was overflowing at this time of the year.
Mm.
And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We need to say that more. Where is the Lord God of Elijah, the miracles that he did? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Quite a pattern here, huh?
That's right. And he didn't say where is the spirit of Elisha.
That's right.
He knew it was the anointing that came from Elijah.
That's where.
He knew that anointing that came from Elijah. And where do we know? We know that our anointing comes from the Lord, right?
That's right.
From Yeshua. So when God sees the power of God working in and through believers, we know that it's not the person. It's the anointing of God.
That's
Jesus in them. that's you know, causing miracles, or you know, you see the glory of God on somebody.
Sure.
And, you know, that's the glory of Jesus. So he said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest upon. The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. That's what they saw. Mm-hmm. And then they came to meet him and bowed down themselves. They knew that the anointing had been passed on, And you know, it was important that those men, those prophets were there, because they were a witness.
A witness to what happened.
They were a witness to what happened.
That's right.
And God will always have a witness. You know, there was a witness to the testimony of this, what happened. And you know, it's interesting, in the King James, a lot of people want to kind of wash over the miracles. You know, oh well, that wasn't really a miracle. But if we go back here, and I don't know why they put in here appeared. There appeared in verse 11. If we read it without their appearing, then it's definite. Like it says here, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold,
there
a
appeared.
Chariot of fire.
Yeah.
Though there appeared,
is it
should not be there.
That's right.
That makes it kind of like, it puts a doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
Well, there really wasn't a chariot of fire. Yes, it was really a chariot of fire. It says, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire.
That's right.
And parted them both asunder. So that, I believe, putting that there appeared can put a doubt.
Well, you know, it's
in your mind.
It was there to help comprehend the verse, but sometimes it brings some confusion.
It can bring confusion because
right.
It says appeared.
That's right.
Well, when someone say there may be, well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. No, it says there was there. It says behold, which means hey,
yeah. Hey,
or pay attention. A chariot of fire and horses of fire. So this chariot and these horses were made of fire.
Horses were on fire.
They were on fire.
That's
they appeared.
Right. But the sad thing, think about all, we don't know how many prophets were in this school, but they missed out. And we got so many people even in the church they're thinking about today that missing out on what God wants. There's only a small remnant that really wants everything in this book for their life. They don't believe this for today. They don't believe this happened. They don't believe this. But this whole thing is for you and I to show it. God wants you to know the Word from beginning to end. And
mm-hmm.
He's put all, even in, if we think about all the manifestations of the Spirit and all that, that's all been in the Bible. And it's never been taken away. It's for today. And people don't want it. They refuse to accept it because somebody's told them that it's not for today or God's not doing those things. Well, that's a lie. My Bible says that God's not a liar. And so he gave us this. And what we're talking about, so I'm thinking about this. We have people, you know, doing this, and God hates it when we, that's basically blaspheming the Holy Ghost when we do this, when we refuse to accept what God put in place and to walk in it. That's why the world was turned upside down
mm-hmm.
in 30 years with the apostles, because they believed what God had told them. And they all went out and preached the same thing. We didn't have 15 different messages, or 100 different messages like we hear today. But I'm reminded what it says in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2. This is here, and also it's in Revelation at the end of chapter 22. He says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught, or that means anything, from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So he says, you can't take anything out and you can't add anything. But we have a lot of that today in the church. And so my heart goes out thinking about all those prophets that stood there. They had doubt and questioned. They should have been running after Elijah like Elisha was. And they could have had the same thing. They could have had a double portion. And if you look at Elisha's life later, if you read through these rest of these chapters, you find out he did double the miracles that Elijah did. So he did get a double portion, didn't he, Donna?
Yes, and he had a special call in his life, which
sure
perhaps
did.
Those other prophets did not have. Well,
when
we're talking about in the Old Testament, now we're all priests and kings, and God has an anointing
right.
for each person. But, you know, even they doubted because they want to go and look for him,
mm-hmm.
look for Elijah.
That's right.
You know, and so they had to go and go and look, and they did that and found out they never found him. And anyways, praise God.
So it's quite an event that happened. So here we start over there in Joshua, and we see what happened when they came across the Jordan River at Passover, even when they came out of Egypt at the same time. And now here we are, quite a few years in the future, and here we have an event with one of the famous kings in the Bible. His name is Elijah. And one day we'll get to see this man and be able to talk to him. It's kind of amazing. But, you know, people miss out. We don't want you to miss out on anything that God has for you. You've all been called, appointed, and anointed. If you have come to Jesus, you've asked him to come into your life, cast down all those doubts that people put in your mind that you can't do this and you can't do that. Just go by the Word of God. If it says they did it back in this day, it's still active today. It has not changed. And so I don't want to blaspheme God. And when we start doing that, we're throwing a blanket over the anointing of God. We're going to smother out what God wants to do. And we think about, I think of what it says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, quench not the Spirit. Well, how do you quench it? It's like having a candle. It's got a flame on it. And you just take your fingers and snuff it out. Well, it's gone. He says, quench not the Spirit.
Amen.
So we have to be able to walk in the fullness of
God. Wow, Pastor Gino, we're running out of time.
We got almost 3 minutes. But we got so many people that needs to walk into the realm of the Spirit and to really get touched. And I mean, have an experience with God, and you'll never be the same again.
Glory to God.
Walk into a realm that you know that God has a plan for you. He's got a ministry for you. He's got something he wants you to do, and you can grow into those things that he wants you to do, and you can be used of God. No matter how little you think of yourself, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
So step into the presence of God. Walk
into the anointing.
Get into the anointing.
That's what we need. We need the anointing. Amen. We didn't even get into the New Testament. I'll tell you, this time goes by so quickly.
Sure does.
Anyways, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilson. We're blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday and also on the internet. We thank the Lord we're on the internet at 12 noon, or you can go back and listen to it again. You can go back and listen to this program again and again. WCNO's on 24/7, and we're also on their radio broadcast on Saturdays for 12 o'clock noon. So just go and listen to it. Tell some people about it. That's WCNO.com. And we have a ministry here in Stuart, Florida. Not only this Raising the Standard ministry on the radio, but we have a church here in Stuart, Florida, where we worship God because the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
So come and worship with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We have service. I want to mention also, I'm going to give the phone number in a minute, but I also want to mention that we have a Dr. Bree Keaton coming.
Hallelujah.
She's an apostolic prophetic call in her life. She does prayer walks and deliverance, and she's written books. She's a psalmist. She's a beautiful voice. And many, many wonderful things she's done, been on TV and radio, and not that that's important or not, but she's a woman of God that carries a sword, and she has the Spirit of God. Amen. I believe like the anointing of God, I'll say amen.
That's right.
So this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we're on this program because we love people and we want to see them to grow and to mature in all the things. And so that's what we call this program, Raising the Standard, for
Amen.
So many years. And so we just honor the Lord. We're glad to be here with WCNO. And we hope you receive something out of this today that might encourage you in your life to draw closer to God. Be like Elijah, chasing after Elijah. We want to be God chasers, not men chasers. We want to be God pleasers, not men pleasers. So as we close this program every week, we tell you again that we love you, and we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.